Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Yeah, it is a Friday. Happy Friday, fellas. You guys ready for another weekend? You're gonna start to dip your toe in the metaphorical waters that are out there. You ready to go do something?
Well, let's go. What you want to do?
I don't know. Why don't you come down here? Let's go find something to do. Let's go hang out at your club. Let's go have a couple of those old fashions. Let's do something.
Yeah, but it ain't the same. Actually, we did just open up the bar. We opened up the bar and the food area at the club, but it's still social distancing based on what you guys are doing.
And well, how you're doing it, I don't know. I can sit at the other end of the bar. We can sit across the table.
Some of the stuff that I have seen on the news when I've been watching, it's just been ridiculous how they've been non-social distancing. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think that a lot of people decided that that's not how they want to roll. But I don't know. Maybe they're, you know, restaurants are open. Maybe this is the weekend to go out there and sit at a table, have a drink, and have a little bite to eat. I'm excited about it. I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I get the sense that you're not, Key. You're not really feeling
it. I'm not feeling it like
that. Wake up.
To the point where I'm not feeling – well, I was actually waiting for LZ to chime in. That's why I left airspace, idiot. So at the end of the day, I think that you got to just be careful, man, with everything that's going on. And I think we'll get there. I'm not ready to get into the restaurant business yet. I kind of want to give it a few more weeks before I really – you know, I want to see.
You're right. Yeah, I want to see what happens next. Right?
I want to see what happens next. You know, let me find out what's going on with everybody else before I make that decision.
Susan said to me, "Hey, let's go grab a bite." And I'm like, maybe. Can we give it another week or so? But yeah, we're getting closer for sure. Mike Bone, who we talked to yesterday, Key. We're gonna replay that coming up in about a half an hour. That was a very interesting conversation yesterday. I went in that hoping to be optimistic and that we're going to get some good answers about the status of the SC program. And I don't know if I got what I was looking for because I came out of it with the exact same questions I had going in.
Yeah, well, and I don't feel I got anything answered in terms of, you know, the question. Small talk and trying to butter me up and tell me how good I was. That doesn't work with me. I don't need you telling me how good I was. I've never even met you. And that, you know, and then it became a very interesting conversation, to say the least. I mean, he didn't really give us any real answers to some of the things that we wanted. And I understand that he's playing the athletic director game and he's been doing that for a while. So he's polished in that sense. But it doesn't work with us because we're polished at what we do. And we smell the you know what when we smell it. We feel it, you know, and one is something that when you're looking at it, you're sitting there saying, okay, you're trying to sell us on we want to be great again, but nothing that we are doing thus far has really indicated that that's where we want to be.
The actions were far different than the words. The words were more or less right, but the actions are a little different. So Mike Bone is coming up at 6:30. So if you didn't get a chance to hear that yesterday, that's coming up in a little bit. And
you may not hear him again.
Yeah, that's – well, we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully we get a chance to talk to him again.
There's good news,
guys. There's very good news, guys. The Rams and Jared Goff have landed number one on a list.
Woo!
Number one.
Yeah,
Dan
it's about damn time.
Put together, this is, hey, look, the pole position right here. Dan Graziano put together a ranking of all 32 NFL quarterbacks and how committed, that's the terminology, how committed the team is to their guy at that position. And it's not about who is the best. It's about contracts. It's about who has the best contractual situation with their team right now. And he has Jared Goff number one overall because Jared Goff just made a whole bunch of money, not overall, but in the last couple of months. That on March 20th, he got $21 million of his 2020 roster bonus. He got $25 million of his 2021 salary. That became fully guaranteed. A $2.5 million 2021 roster bonus and a $15.5 million roster bonus. All of that became fully guaranteed, which means Jared Goff and the Rams are number one on this list, Key. Is this good news if you're a Rams fan that the Rams are this deep into the pool with Jared Goff?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. When you talk about $73 million over the next 3 years, the big takeaway for me is, as I've always told you, when it comes to Dak Prescott's contract or anybody else's, do you want to swallow a pill when you release that guy? Do you want to pay him a handsome ransom to leave? Jared Goff at $15.5 million after the 2022 season, okay, if they part ways with him in the spring of 2022, they have to give him $15 million. Now, that year to not play, do you want to do that or do you want to pay him and let him play and see what it is? So he has them in over a barrel. Now, you would think that if Jared Goff stays the same, if he's the same quarterback that he was last year and he stays the same this year and the year after and the year after year, I'm going to take that. That is a quality quarterback in the National Football League. At that number, you're going to take that. You say, well, man, we can get better. Yeah, you may be able to get better, but what if you don't? That's
right.
The interesting part about contracts is when a guy does a deal and that deal is in his favor, now he forces the organization to have to make a major decision on when to part ways with him. So when you hear guys say they want that fifth year or that fourth year guaranteed, but they want all the money in the first 2 years of the deal. Now think about it. Jared Goff is getting $75 million over the next 3 years. They can't do nothing with him. Even if they wanted to do something with him, they couldn't. It would hurt their pocket in the worst way. And he said, well, how could it hurt? They got plenty of money. Well, they'll have salary cap problems. They don't want that. Why would they want salary cap issues?
So you're okay if Jared Goff, for what you saw, not the season he led the team to the Super Bowl, but last year, if he performs like that for the duration of this contract, you still feel the Rams are in good shape with this contract and him?
Well, the reason is they have no other choice. So you see what I'm saying? Like if you decide in 2020, if you decide in 2021, I've had enough of him and I wanted to get rid of him. You know how much money you got to pay to tell him to go away on your, not only cash, but on your acceleration? Your acceleration would kill your cap. So you got to be okay with him. You may not publicly be okay with him. I mean, privately be okay with him, but you're going to be okay with him publicly. You're going to say things.
But I mean, if you're a team exec and Jared Goff turns in the season that he just had, and you have to pay him this whopping amount of money, you feel good about it, in other words.
Well, I'm going to have to make some adjustments to surround him around some players, maybe limit some stuff that he does to try to figure out what he does good to get the best out of him. But given the fact that – well, last year he didn't have a in-the-bottom-seller quarterback
season. No.
He had an okay season. He had an okay season. His season was good. It was better the Super Bowl year than it was last year. You certainly would want the Super Bowl year than last, but you can live with last year's season the next 2 or 3 years. But everybody else has to step up and do their part.
It's hard because the numbers are so crazy. Like the numbers that Key mentioned, you're talking about $73 million fully guaranteed over the next 3 years, and that is a massive, massive number. But if you look at it like this, I think it makes you feel a lot better about where Jared Goff is and what they've paid for him. This is the going rate for a starting quarterback in the NFL who's recently signed, which is what
That's what I keep saying about that.
So he's at the going rate. And I like what you said at the beginning, Key. You have to look at it like this, I think. Could you get better? Yeah, sure. Maybe you could get lucky and you could find the next Patrick Mahomes out there. But the next Brian Hoyer is lurking out there too, and you don't have either one of those guys.
You've got Patrick Mahomes.
That's a deep dive right there,
right? So you
well not only not only capable. That
you've got a guy that took you to the Super Bowl, and like, look, was Jared Goff's season last year a great season? No, it wasn't. But it wasn't a catastrophe
so here,
either.
Here's what I'm gonna ask.
So that middle ground at the going rate. Better than average. That's a really good deal for the Rams. They've got a good guy at the right spot.
And here's what I want to ask pre-posted halftime and Rams superfan.
That's me.
Would you rather have Kirk Cousins or Jared Goff?
Jared Goff.
Okay, well, guess what? Kirk Cousins is number three on this list.
I was just going to say, Keith.
And Kirk Cousins hit them for $96 million over the next 3 years in fully guaranteed money.
And I still feel like there's a lot of room for growth with Patrick, or excuse me, with so Jared Goff. That there isn't
no.
Kirk Cousins.
I want you to hear what I just said. Okay, $96 million fully guaranteed over the next three. Jared Goff got 70 something over the next three. Okay, do the math. You so smart.
Are
this,
key are the
73 million dollars over the next three, and Kirk Cousins. 96 over the next three. Then which one would you want?
So are the Vikings screwed?
It's not that they're screwed. It's the marketplace and what it is at that point in time for a quarterback. My point is, could they have gotten better? Yes. Or could they have gotten Brian Hoyer if they part ways with Kirk Cousins? Now, Kirk Cousins had a year left on his original contract. So you add the 2 years, the 66 they just gave you, plus that year, that's 3 years of $96 million of fully guaranteed money. Now, they could have said, you know what, we're not extending him. We're going to play the last year, and we're going to let him walk. But then what if he'd have hit and took y'all to the Super Bowl? Then you'd have had to pay him $200 million. So it's a cat-and-mouse game that you have to play when you're an executive, when you're dealing with these quarterbacks. This goes back to the Dak Prescott situation, or it goes back to guys like Cam Newton that's on the streets, that you bring him in, you pay him something, he hits on you, he uses you for a year. You're like, well, wait a minute, man, I really like the way that tastes. Let me get another year out of that. Nope, I want 5 years out of it. Okay, then he has a bond year, now you're stuck. So yeah, it's hard to play with these quarterbacks.
There's a whole bunch of guys on this list, and we'll get to as many of them as we can because some guys are near the top that you would not expect, including a couple of rookies as well. So that's coming up in just a bit. I thought everybody knew this, but apparently not. Do not mess with Dame Lillard. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. So you guys ready for 1 week from today for the John Ireland Show, Keyshawn LZ and Ireland, because he and I have come to the agreement.
Multiple ejections.
From today, I will be on the golf course, and John will be in here. You guys ready?
Of course we're ready. I mean,
I'm cool with it. It worked out well for us last time. We just well, not
actually,
doing
I
no.
Can't, I actually what's can't that, what's speak that, on it because I actually wasn't here when he was on the last time. So,
oh, you wasn't?
I don't know.
Oh, it was just
no.
me. It was just me and John.
Yeah, so I don't know if I'm ready. It's a brand new experience.
Yeah, but I won't be doing no slow track or whatever it's called.
Fast track. I don't know what slow track would be. Maybe we should try that one day. Come up with
yeah, we won't be doing that. That's so old and boring.
Hey, real quick before we get to Lillard, what do you think of JT Daniels going to Georgia, Key?
Yeah, man. Ooh, he ran up on it, didn't he? He ran up on it at SEC. I ain't mad at him. He went to where the best college football is being played at right now. I don't know if he really want to be down there with that, though.
Why not?
Is he built for that? That's my question. Is he really built for that?
Because you know, about his game or his personality?
His everything, all that. Game, personality. Because, you know, it's a lot of dudes from the West Coast that go to Georgia and they come home.
Why?
Because it's different. It's interesting thing. No, player-wise, it's always been said that when you go that far away to school, because they don't have a direct connect to the West Coast in terms of recruiting, that they don't have to adhere to you being on the field. They're going to play one of their own before they play you, because they got to do their own backyard before they have to do the backyards in California. So it's always been questioned in recruiting when kids go from the West Coast to the South to play football, because it just doesn't, they, you know, a lot of the times they just, you just don't necessarily get a fair shake, which is understandable, because at the end of the day, if you go down there and you don't do well, there's a guy that's from around the corner that's doing pretty well, even, you might as well play the guy that's even so you could continue to recruit in that particular region.
I don't mean to throw shade at Keaton Slovis at all. This is not what this is. But if you can't get on the field in front of that guy, what makes you think you're going to get on the field in front of the guy at Georgia?
Well, I think Keaton Slovis' situation is different. Keaton Slovis couldn't get on the field in front of JT Daniels. JT Daniels was cooking till he got hurt. Once he got hurt, you know, Keaton Slovis kind of within this system fit perfect for them. And so he showed that he wasn't going to lose the starting spot within this system. Now, I don't know that Keaton Slovis can play in any other system because he doesn't have a big-time arm like that. He just doesn't. I mean, he's good for what they try to do in this air raid. I mean, he's like a Mike Leach-type quarterback clone. Keaton Slovis is not going – when we start to talk about the National Football League in the drafts, Keaton Slovis' name is not going to be in the top five quarterbacks that year that he comes out. I can guarantee you that.
No.
So, you know, he's a good college quarterback, put up numbers, video game numbers, and it looks good. But, you know, JT, I thought JT was going to go to Notre Dame, but I guess he figured he didn't want to be hated for the rest of his life.
that would be a weird transfer home. For sure. Yeah, keep in mind, yeah, he is from not only from Southern California and SC, but Orange County, home right. of the Trojans, right?
And I wonder if he has a Trojan tattoo on him.
Maybe.
I feel like he does have a Trojan tattoo. And just because you transfer from football athletics or athletics from USC doesn't make your USC connections go away. There's a lot of guys who've transferred.
Even if you're only there for a season?
Yeah, but he wasn't there only a season. He was there. He's been there since he was a kid. And he has Trojan blood embedded in him, but he wanted to play football. He didn't want to just go to school there. I'm sure he wants the USC education way over Georgia. I mean, come on.
So not only does he have a USC tattoo.
No, I said, does he?
Let me finish. Not only does he have one, it's huge. It's not even one of those cute ones you can throw a little t-shirt over.
You do understand. I totally took that and threw that against the wall and hoped that it stuck. And the reason I am so good at this. I swear I am. He seems like that guy, and he's an Orange County modern day kid, and it just fits because he's a Trojan in heart. It fits, and I just assumed he had the tattoo.
Well, this must really obviously be totally devastating for him for a lot of reasons. I mean, the tattoo is of the Kahlo. It's got, you know, Tommy Trojan, like just his whole leg, his whole calf, and I think this is his right calf, is basically a Trojan tattoo.
Can you turn it into a bulldog? Can
you only going to Georgia to play football, man. You ain't going down there for no damn degree.
Well, I mean, come on, man. Of course. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's
his degree.
Easy.
His degree coming from USC. He'll finish up school at USC. He'll play football. He'll get some transferable units. He'll transfer back to USC at the end of the day, and he'll graduate from USC.
Damian Lillard did not like getting called out by Dan Orlovsky on Get Up the other day. Dan Orlovsky, a colleague of ours on Get Up, said, "How can you sit there?" Let me back up a little bit. Remember that Lillard was saying, "I don't want to go play if we're not playing for something." So the response to that, Orlovsky said, "How can you sit there and go, nope, I'm not going to play, but I understand that there's people out there that don't have that choice. They have to go to work. They have to go earn their money. I struggle with sitting here and going, you don't come off in some way a spoiled and entitled brat by saying, I'm not going to play." Damian Lillard was not having that. Some of this I can't read. Some of it I can. Entitled and Spoiled. Blankety blank. Watch your mouth. My background, family, and character couldn't be further from Entitled and Spoiled. I said what I said. You've sat out your whole career, basically. I heard of one other occasion, and it ain't worth mentioning. He went all in. Orlovsky did apologize on Twitter and said, you know what? I shouldn't have said what I said, but Dame wasn't having any of it. I thought it was a universal understanding, guys, that you do not mess with Damian Lillard. He's not playing. I remember D'Angelo Russell tried that a couple of years ago, and Lillard's response was, man, I'm from Oakland. Well, he is, and he showed it again. He is not messing around.
Yeah, he cooked Dan. Dan. Ooh, see, that's why when you get behind the microphones, man, you better know what you're talking about. You better know who you're dealing with. And you know, at the end of the day, It's not even as much about him having an opinion on what Lillard said. Dame said that he wasn't gonna play. Okay, cool. He ain't gonna play. That's his prerogative. He don't. There's nothing wrong with that. But to try and use where we at and what we're doing in this pandemic in America, also on top of that, what other athletes are doing, he should be doing because other guys are gonna do it. You cannot do that. You stick your foot in your mouth when you do things like that, trying to be cute and smart. And then this is when you get torched by a dude. And I remember as a player myself, when reporters or analysts would say things about me, I cook them too, because you saying stuff out of pocket that you have no knowledge about whatsoever. And then you have to backpedal and do those things. So that's why I'm always, you know, when I'm always saying germ spreaders or they talk too much, or y'all always saying something you don't know nothing, that's what I'm relaying. I'm referring to things like that. It's a different way of expressing your opinion about one and your views about one if you don't accept what he's thinking about doing. You don't have to call him spoiled or brat or anything like that. And I'm sure that he didn't think that that was going to be the case at the time that he decided to say what he said.
I've been a columnist, television commentator for well over a decade now. And I have a rule. I've said it multiple times and I'm going to say it again. Don't write or say anything on air or in print that you aren't willing to say to someone's face. Now, I don't have a problem with, you know, Dan saying whatever he wanted to say about, you know, Dame Lillard on his face, as long as he felt comfortable enough to say it to, you know, in his face. You know, I'm comfortable with that. But clearly, if you're able to get blasted on Twitter and immediately backpedal, perhaps you shouldn't have said it to begin with. Because I get where Dan perhaps wanted to come from, but I felt as if his characterization of that perspective sensationalized it and hyped it up beyond where it needed to go. And because of that, he got cooked. And listen, Dame might be the best rapper the NBA has ever had. So that means he spends his life figuring out how to craft words to kill people and rhyme at the same time. So if he ain't got the rhyme at the same time, he's definitely going to kill you.
Yeah, it did not go well. And that's the wrong guy for all the reasons that you just mentioned. And he's not going to let it go. He's always going to respond. Damian Lillard certainly won that one. All right. As promised, Mike Bone, the athletic director at USC, is coming up next. You're not going to want to miss it. It's fantastic. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
All right, as promised, we are joined right now by the athletic director at USC, Mike Bone, joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. A pleasure to be with you.
Good morning.
That's good. That's good.
Welcome to the morning
Always
show.
Good.
Well, sounds like you're fired up on a morning on a Thursday. That's good. I like it. A little good energy going there.
Well, that's part of the morning show, to make sure that we get all the facts right and we get all the answers, and we fired up to get some from you. Speaking of getting some of the answers, when you took this job as the athletic director, did you
have any knowledge or have any feel for what the Trojan tradition was all about and where we wanted to get back to?
Oh, no question about it. Of course. I've watched you play. I've watched the Trojans. I've had the USC fight song on my playlist from when I was a kid. I've watched, obviously, all the great USC teams play. I was fortunate enough to be a part of the Pac-12 when I was the athletic director at Colorado when we made the move to the Pac-12 conference. And obviously watching the renovations of the Coliseum and the incredible commitment and expectations of competing for national championships. Absolutely. That's what makes the job attractive. That's what, whether you're competing at your level when you played in the NFL and aspire to, win a Super Bowl, or whether it's to be the best in playing Pro Bowls. I mean, that's the stage you want to be on, and those are the games you want to be a part of. And that Notre Dame series and being able to play marquee opponents and compete for, again, national championships is what attracts any great leader or competitor.
When you signed on, you first signed on and took the job as the athletic director here at the University of Southern California, there was a number of not only alums, but supporters, boosters, that were not on board with the retainment of Clay Helton as our head coach, because we wanted to go into a situation where there, whether it was an Urban Meyer or a Bob Stoops, but a coach that gave us the hope and feel that we were going to get back to that promised land of fighting for national championships, getting to the Final Four, and you made the opposite decision to retain him. What went into that thought process?
Well, I think there's a lot that goes into that, but I think that in the end, you look at what Clay had done as our coach, and the ability to take us to a Rose Bowl victory, and the ability to be in a January 1st bowl game twice out of the during his tenure, and the ability to understand the support that he needed to really provide the resources and the structure and the support in the sense of personnel around him to be successful. And we believe that that's where we really needed to invest and make changes and adjustments and recruit top people to be around him and support him and support the young men that were coming back. We believe we have an extremely talented team, wonderful young men. They're doing a great job of doing all the things necessary to be a championship team, and we wanted to support them with that.
Mike, what would you say is the biggest issue at USC with regards to athletics today, and what are your plans to address those issues?
Well, obviously, it starts with recruiting, and my hat's off to, if we want to talk about football specifically, my hat's off to Clay and the staff, and to have currently the third-ranked class in the country. That's the expectation. That's the type of recruiting prowess that's going to allow us to be successful. So, obviously, it always starts and ends with recruiting and players and the ability to develop elite players, elite wide receivers. We're obviously known for that. And elite linemen and the ability to pull those athletes in and make them better. And the support from the institution, the support from everybody that is – critical to having an athletic program be successful. Our academic performance unit has never had a finer day. Our APR was the highest in the school's history this last year. So we have wonderful momentum and infrastructure fundamentally sound associated with ensuring that a student athlete to come to USC and be successful is in place. And so now we've just got to continue to ensure that we're recruiting great talent and keeping coaches and keeping our continuity and building a program that everybody can be proud of.
Mike Bone, the athletic director at USC, joining us here on The Morning Show. Mike, are you satisfied with the Pac-12's place in the national hierarchy? Obviously, you can only control what goes on at USC, but the Pac-12 goes as SC goes more often than not. How do you deal with carrying the mantle of the entire conference? When SC is good, the conference comes up. When they're not, it doesn't.
Well, I think that my colleagues have talked to me about that, and they recognize that, and they recognize the importance of the L.A. marketplace. I'm convinced that the longer that I have the wonderful ability to be in this town, that Los Angeles is the number one sports city in the world. I'm convinced of that. This is where champions come. This is where champions play. And so the league understands that, but I have been focused on USC. Let's make sure we're doing our job with USC and doing all the things that we control, and not to get wrapped up in other aspects of what's happening within the league. And know that we've got to focus on playing marquee opponents. We're thrilled that we can have an SEC home-and-home coming in for the first time since 2005 with Ole Miss. And we're pursuing others and pursuing other major marquee matchups that, when we can get them, whether that's a game against the Alabamas like we're playing this year or others. And we're going to continue to do everything we can to build our brand. And with that, we believe we can lift others in the league.
As we continue to try to reshape this program, Mike, obviously winning is at the top of the heat. National championships at the top of the heat. As we continue to move forward with this thing, as you mentioned to us earlier, that winning is important. How much patience do you have with this new retooled staff and Clay Helton moving forward if, in fact, things don't go so well this year in terms of wins and losses?
Well, first of all, I like how you say we. You're right. You know, and I think that the
– Well, I've been a part of the program since 1982, Mike.
I know it. I know it, and I love it. And I love it, and I just think that's important. I mean, you don't think people pay attention and prospects and players and fans to what you represent and that competitive spirit? That inspires us. That lifts us, and that gives us a sense of hope that is so critical. And as far as patience, I think that, as you know, it's a competitive – landscape out there, and that's why playing against Alabama early is going to be a big test for us, but we have a heck of a team coming back, and I expect us to have a great year. I really do, and I expect our recruiting to continue to grow, and I'm extremely optimistic, and I'm going to do everything I can to support these players, these coaches, and rally everybody that we can around them to give us a fighting chance, and then and see what happens. But I anticipate us having a great year. Most importantly, it's going to be, can we have a season and can we pull it together? As you all know, we've had our hands full tied with all types of different challenges associated with that. But again, we have great talent here at USC to help us with that. Our medical professionals and the doctors in the hospitals that are helping us is impressive. And I just want to do everything I can to give these young men an opportunity to be successful. Our quarterback is an incredible player and an incredible person, and I'm excited to see him play this year.
Mike, I'm just curious as to, you know, I've had an opportunity to – I also work for the Los Angeles Times and have written piece about SC and where they are over the last 12 months. And one of the things that's been a reoccurring theme is the philosophy of Carol Folt and whether or not that is congruent with what some of the USC alum is used to. Could you, in your own words, describe what is Dr. Folt's philosophy in terms of wins and losses with the football program? And why do you think so many alums have voiced an opposition to what some people believe her philosophy is?
Well, I can tell you one thing. The reason I came to USC is because of Carol Folt. She is a competitive leader, a very strategic, intelligent, and do not underestimate her competitive spirit and her complete understanding of the value of intercollegiate athletics. And I think that people that have those views or maybe express some of those thoughts don't know her or haven't been around her. And I can tell you one thing, being able to compete with her, whether it's on the Pac-12 initiatives, NCAA initiatives, and trying to build a championship team, is one of the finest leaders and partners I've ever been a part of, and I'm proud to partner with her, and I'm excited about what we're able to do. And as I said, our momentum continues to grow, and I'm extremely optimistic. And again, she is a college president that knows, understands, and appreciates intercollegiate athletics, and from day one, she's demonstrated that to me and continues to, obviously through this pandemic, and obviously through all aspects associated with trying to restore our national standing.
Mike Bone, the athletic director at USC, joining us here on the morning show. Mike, you mentioned it a couple of times, the game coming out this fall with Alabama. There were some reports out there that maybe that game was not going to be played, that maybe both sides were exploring alternate opponents. Do you expect that game to be played on schedule on time?
I do. If we, with the, obviously the premise that we were able to get our athletes back and Alabama is able to do what they need to do on their end. I mean, like California is not alone associated with the challenges of getting our student athletes back on campus. And as you saw recently, there were some outbreaks in that part of the country as well. But I communicate regularly with Greg Byrne, the athletic director at Alabama. He and I have long ties of over 25 years, and we anticipate, as long as everything is a go, as far as all the protocols and clearances from all the health professionals and everything, to play, absolutely.
What does that look like for us coming back? Is there going to be a cap on the number of people who could be in the Colo? Will there be no people in the Coliseum? Are there people that are going to be checking for masks? Are you not going to have masks? What are those conversations like? What is this going to look like?
Well, I think that we have numerous scenarios associated with how that's coming together, but I'm not prepared to reveal all those answers yet. But again, the safety of our fans, our student athletes, is primary on our minds. And we want to ensure that, again, we take advantage of the incredible support we've had from the county, from our local hospitals and health officials, from state officials, and in many places, national experts that are helping us. So, again, we're committed to try and do everything we can to do to get it right. But obviously the challenge of having students on campus is a big part of that as well. But our coaches and our student athletes' patience and confidence in knowing that we're doing everything we can to support them has been impressive. And that inspires me. And I'm just proud of how they've been able to keep their poise during this challenging time.
As we near training camp to get into regular season, Mike Bone, athletic director at USC, joining us here on the morning show. As we get ready to venture into the season training camp, in the county of Los Angeles is not fully open for some reason that it doesn't at that time. Is there a plan in place to potentially go down to maybe like a UC Irvine in Orange County, which is far steps ahead of us in terms of opening?
No, with that, we obviously have contingencies that we maybe would have to look at. But right now our focus is on taking advantage of the incredible infrastructure at USC, our doctors, our trainers, our facilities, everybody associated with our program and our incredible support staff across all aspects of the campus to help us. So our primary focus is to work with our experts that we have on our campus and right within the heart of what makes USC so strong.
Mike, one last quick one before we let you go. What do we have to do to get Key a seat at the table? When you guys are making these decisions, how do we get Key's voice involved?
Well, Key's always welcome to be involved. I know he's had an opportunity to visit with a couple of our people. I haven't had an opportunity to spend time with him, but I welcome the opportunity with any of our former student athletes, and that helps us get better. That helps us get better, and those insights are great. And I think that I've had an opportunity to spend time with many USC greats. I'm not going to mention all of them, but every time I visit with them, I learn and I listen and before I try and lead. And I think from day one, I talked about the importance of learning and listening before trying to lead. And I think that Keyshawn and other greats provide insights that maybe a lot of people don't understand, and they're valuable. And so I have always enjoyed time, whether it's obviously you have to remember, for the last 2 months, we haven't even been able to get out of our homes.
Yeah, but you've had a phone.
Able to get out and do that. So that makes it tough. And,
you've had a phone, Mike.
Radio and things like that make it tough.
Come on, Mike. You've got a phone.
But I enjoy
it. Call them up. You can call them up. You have a telephone.
thanks for coming on,
point,
man.
Point made. I got it. I appreciate it.
Fight on. Mike Bone, AD at USC. Mike, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks a bunch.
All right. I look forward to being with you guys again. You have a great morning. I appreciate what you do. And as always, fight on.
Yes,
you
sir.
Got it, Mike.
So, Key, getting a chance to listen to that again, listening to Mike Bone have a conversation with us yesterday, I was taking a few notes, and there's a couple of things that just kind of jumped out at me. And I liked the very first question you asked him, when you asked him about, does he feel like he has an understanding of the tradition of USC football? And after hearing the answer the second time, I'm convinced that he does not have the understanding that I would like him to have. I think that you need to understand what it means to be a part of the USC athletic program, the football program, in particular. It's not about the fight song. It's not about living in LA. It's about understanding that that team wins championships, has first round draft picks, has number one overall picks, All Americans, Hall of Famers, Heisman Trophy winners. That's what it's about. It's about winning, for God's sakes. And I don't understand, or I should say, I don't think that he understands that the way that real Trojan people get that.
Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't, I don't think, either. That's why I asked him a question. I mean, it's great. Yeah, we got good APR. I mean, nobody's going to school for APR. Man, these dudes are going to win championships, be in championship hunt. Whether or not they ever win one under Clay Helton, be in the conversation, though.
Yeah.
They didn't win one every year under Pete Carroll, but at least they were in the conversation. You know, you want to – they didn't win one every year with McKay and John Robinson, but at least they were in the conversation. You want to be in the conversation. You don't want people – laughing at you, talking bad about your program. You don't want those things. And guys will graduate. USC football players have always graduated. That's not a problem.
That's never been the issue at SC.
Never been the issue. So sit around and talk about your APR scores to get into a low-tier bowl. I mean, come on, man. Like, you're talking to somebody that's been around. Like I said, I've been around the program since 1981. I've been around the USC program since 1981. If you cut my veins open right now, it's bleeding cardinal and gold. So, yes, frustration sits in with me from time to time. My voice isn't loud. It's not heard in that building, and I don't want it to be. Let them figure it out. It's their jobs to figure it out. I'm not asking for a seat at the table. It's their job to figure out if there's a seat available. It's not my job to politic for a seat. If you don't know that by now, shame on you. You know, you tell us, oh, I've talked to many USC guys, but I'm not going to name them all. Well, you didn't name one. You didn't name one. Is it because you don't want to say that who you talk, because you really haven't really discussed a whole lot with the people that you probably should be talking to, opposed to the ones that they're telling you to talk to? So it's a little bit different for me when I start to look at these things. I hope that he gets it turned around as an athletic director. My doubts are high, and my suspicions are high that it probably won't happen anytime soon. You know, he thinks because you got a good team coming back. Okay, yeah, you got a good team coming back. You got a good team with a good number of players that were highly recruited, but are they going to turn out to be top picks? Are they going to go into Alabama? Are they going to take whatever trophy back from Alabama? Or is that going to happen? Or are we going to get painted all over the floor?
Well, you know, you just mentioned it again, and he mentioned it a couple of times during the conversation, he being Mike Bone, the AD at SC. And he talked about it all starts with recruiting. It all starts with players. It all starts with making sure that we've got the guys that we've always had before. And that's half right. That's half right. But the other part is, let's look at what we saw in the draft a couple of months ago. How many guys from SC got picked in the draft? Two. Okay. How many guys are getting picked from places like Utah and Oregon? A lot more. USC is getting better players than those places. USC is, you know, historically putting as many people in the NFL as Alabama and Miami and LSU and Ohio State. And yet USC is not winning a bunch of games. So that's telling me two very clear things. Number one, you're getting the guys. If you wind up in the NFL, those are the right guys. But if you're not winning a bunch of games and you got a bunch of NFL players, where's the disconnect? It's in development. And when development is coaching. If you've got good NFL quality players and you're not winning games and those guys still go on to the NFL to have impressive careers the way that a bunch of USC guys have, there is a disconnect there. It's not about recruiting. It's about doing with the recruits what Alabama does with those same recruits, what Georgia does with those recruits, Oklahoma, Ohio State, LSU. That's the missing piece, and that never got mentioned.
Well, it'll be interesting to see with the new retooled staff again that the defensive side will come together. They hired, you know, two former Trojan linebackers and Hayes Pollard and Chris Claiborne as quality control analysts. So they're there. I don't know that they'll be doing field work, but it'll be interesting to see. And when you look at who they hired as a defensive staff, those guys wasn't turning out no players out of Texas on defense either. So it's kind of like, uh-oh, what did you just put together? You went and got some guys from Texas out of your area and people you're familiar with. I hope that it turns out the way you envision it, because if not, those screams for his job is going to get loud and loud early. And I mean, and I'm talking about Clay Helton, and they have to, they're going to have to make a decision at some point in time throughout the season, whether or not he's the right man for the job. Now, maybe he knows that. Maybe they've already told him that. I don't know. But to think that he could get away with a subpar season this year and be your coach in the following year, I don't think that that's going to happen.
Do the Rams have the right guy for the job at quarterback? According to one list, they've got the best guy at that job. That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.